Hello, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland, and founder of Seek Truth from Facts Foundation. Today's program is extremely interesting. The title is, Why Are 8 of 11 U.S. Aircraft Carrier Strike Groups Always in Port? What does it mean for NATO's planned war with China using Taiwan as a proxy? Here we go. I regularly check the website called South Front, see the link below, and I suggest you do too. Every week or so, they post an updated U.S. carrier strike group location map. It shows with little pins where all of the United States' deep water aircraft carrier groups are. I check it every week, and I can tell you that I have never seen more than two or three actually out on the high seas. Even a month ago, Uncle Slaughter couldn't even keep one around the Arabian Gulf. Uncle Slaughter usually keeps one in the West Pacific between Japan and the Philippines, but all of the rest are in port. And there's a reason for this. If you look at the map, the USS Ronald Reagan has not been out on the high seas since November 2023, the Nimitz since September 2023, the George H.W. Bush since July 2023, the Gerald R. Ford since January 2024, and the John Stennis since December 2019. Why is this? These aircraft carrier groups are not 100% seaworthy. Everybody, even in the mainstream media, makes fun of the Gerald R. Ford. It is a white elephant that cannot stand the test of real combat. What is even more hilarious with respect to China is that on a typical U.S. aircraft carrier, you have three kinds of airplanes. They are the F-18, which was launched in 1983, 40 years ago. You have the T-45, which came out in 1991, over 30 years ago. Then you have the more recent F-35, which is a laughingstock around the world because it can't fly. It is constantly being called back to the hangar because it can't fly. It even has to be repainted every time it goes out since the stealth paint on it wears off after each sortie. Not to mention they are crashing left and right. The F-35 is another white elephant that could not stand the test of real combat against a country like China or Russia. The F-18 has a combat zone of 500 kilometers. That means that it can go out 500 clicks, then come back 500 kilometers for a total of 1,000. It has to be able to come back to the aircraft carrier to get refueled. The T-45 has a combat zone of 600 kilometers. When it's able to fly, the F-35 has a combat zone of 750 kilometers. But here's the deal. The Chinese have three short-range aircraft carrier killer missiles for naval battle theaters. The YJ-83 can go 250 kilometers, which is perfect for Taiwan since it is only 150 kilometers away from the mainland's coast. The YJ-62 has a 400-kilometer range, well beyond the Pacific side of Taiwan. The YJ-18 missile has a range of 540 kilometers. This means that with only these short-range aircraft carrier killer missiles, a U.S. carrier cannot get any closer than about 600 kilometers away from the Chinese coast. That means the F-18 and the T-45 airplanes are totally useless. Why? If the aircraft carrier comes within range of the YJ-18 missile, it is going to be sunk in a matter of minutes. It is even worse than that. The Chinese have hundreds of aircraft carrier killer missiles of longer range. The DF-21D can take out an aircraft carrier 1,500 kilometers away, perfect for Yankees based in the Philippines. The DF-26 goes 3,000 kilometers, perfect for Japan 2,000 clicks away. Not to mention that China has two hypersonic missile models. The DF-17 can go 3,000 clicks, the DF-27 can go 8,000 kilometers all the way to Hawaii and take out whatever ships may be docked there. Not only can the D-27 take out Pearl Harbor, it can also take out Guam, a major American air base in the West Pacific, as well as the U.S. base in Darwin, Australia. The DF-17 at 3,000 kilometers can take out Japan and Yankees in the Philippines. And of course, South Korea is just hundreds of kilometers away from mainland China, and Taiwan is only 150. China's Navy is bigger than the United States's, which surprises a lot of people. It already has two active aircraft carriers and is launching a third one in 2024, the year of the dragon. Reports are that the People's Liberation Army Navy has 79 submarines, with 16 of them nuclear powered, many of which are loaded with aircraft carrier missiles. The U.S. has 68 subs and Russia 64. How many planes does China have in its military inventory? 2,000. That they only have to go out as far as Japan, Taiwan, the Philippines, and South Korea, a maximum of 2,000 kilometers. The supply chain from Long Beach in California and Seattle in Washington State is 11,000 kilometers. It doesn't do any good to store up materiel in Hawaii and Guam, knowing China can take those out in several minutes. Uncle Slaughter wants to be Globocop. With many hundreds of military bases occupying every continent, it has 5,500 military aircraft to China's 2,000, but the priors are all across North America, South America, Africa, Europe, and Oceania. Ditto the U.S.'s subs off the coast of Cuba, Venezuela, Iran, Syria, in the Black Sea, and keeping an eye on so many other perceived enemies. China's military posture is 100% defensive. It is only concerned with the South China Sea and the first tier of islands off its coast. NATO's is 150% offensive across the planet Earth. One in five American aircraft carrier groups are on the high seas at any given moment, yet the United States is going to make sure that it goes to war with China over Taiwan, as a Ukraine-like proxy, because capitalism cannot survive without war. Democrats and Republicans, they're just Party D and Party R of the Capitalist Party of the United States. You can say the same thing for the liberals and conservatives in Europe, 100% Capitalist Party members. Western governments are totally owned and operated by Wall Street, the City of London, military, media, and farmament corporations. I keep reminding everyone that China and North Korea have had a mutual defense treaty since 1961, recently renewed. Nobody fucks with North Korea, not even the United States. You can see how Uncle Sam keeps the DPRK at arm's length. Why? DPRK has MIRV, ICBMs, multiple reentry vehicle, multiple-headed intercontinental ballistic missiles loaded with nuclear warheads. It also has hypersonic missiles along with Russia and China. The United States and Europe don't even have them yet. They're still in the testing stage. Thus, if the United States triggers a hot war with China, 1.2 million Marxist, Leninist, Communist, Socialist, Confucianist North Korean soldiers are going to pour across the 38th parallel and do to the USA what they did to Douglas MacArthur in 1950, kicked his ass all the way to Pusan on the southern tip of the peninsula. North Korea has thousands of missiles and millions of artillery shells. What is the United States' 30,000 troops stationed in South Korea going to do against that? In 1 week, DPRK would overrun South Korea. Ditto Japan. The United States has 50,000 troops stationed in Japan. North Korea can fire their missiles on Japan just as China can. Given all of this, a conventional hot war with China is a Western loser bad joke. Nevertheless, for the City of London, Wall Street, and the military-industrial complex, this is all a gigantic profit point for Western capitalists. They're going to push the United States into war with China, regardless of the results and consequences. The United States even imagining trying to win doesn't matter, because what really counts are the profits that are gained by the City of London, Wall Street, and all the military contractors. In any case, what is especially scary is that after China takes back Taiwan into the motherland, is NATO insane enough to use nuclear arms in Taiwan as a Hail Mary to save their asses? We already know how that would turn out. Nuclear winter and Homo sapiens saying, sayonara, dear world. We can even talk about West Asia equals Middle East, with psychopathic Israel spearheading the NATO Holocaust there. I said in my book, 44 Days Backpacking in China, that the fate of the world will be decided by the fate of Jerusalem, and the unhinged Talmud Torah-driven Jewish state has 200 rogue thermonuclear weapons. After seeing what they are doing to Palestinians, do you think they won't use their nuclear arms in desperation to stave off losing? I'll give you three guesses, and the first two don't count. The United States and NATO want to project an image of invincibility to the rest of humanity. All expansionist hegemonic empires do. They want to project their delusional full-spectrum dominance. However, during the Cold War, NATO and the Warsaw Pact were at a stalemate. The United States lost in Korea, lost in Vietnam, lost in Afghanistan, and our pathetic occupying forces in Iraq and Syria. Hell, the West can't even beat little Yemen. Just this week, the United States is begging Yemen for a diplomatic solution for their control of the Red Sea. This tells you how pathetically weak NATO really is. All NATO can do is plow billions of dollars and euros of weapons into Ukraine to slow down the eventual victory of Russia there. In desperation, will NATO go nuclear there? When the obvious is known to all of the world that it has lost against Russia, all NATO has done in Palestine is create a holocaust for women, children, old people, starving them to death and destroying their entire infrastructure. They have gained absolutely nothing in terms of military victory. NATO has always been very good at slaughtering old people, women, children, and defeating much weaker opponents like Grenada and Libya. Uncle Slaughter's delusional psychopathy of controlling the world's peoples and their resources lasted about 10 years, from 1990 to 2000. When Wall Street and the City of London were raping and plundering what was left of the USSR, driving the people into destitution, starvation, and misery. The 21st century is different. Since the year 2000, Russia now has what is ranked as by far the best military in the world. And I just read an article recently that China is ranked ahead of the United States in military might, this coming from a conservative think tank. Great thinkers and leaders have been pointing out the obvious, that capitalism cannot survive without war, expansionism, enslaving the weak, and expropriating their natural resources. Karl Marx, Vladimir Lenin, Joseph Stalin, Mao Zedong, Kim Il-sung, Ho Chi Minh, Fidel Castro, and Martin Luther King all pointed out this obvious historical truth. This is why, in spite of the reality on the ground that I have described to you above, Wall Street, the City of London, and NATO's military-industrial complex will push Uncle Slaughter into a hot war with the People's Republic of China, tragic to say. Follow the money! Ka-ching. Thank you.